landmarks, the rich history. Join Coin6 as we explore all things local. This is Where We Live with Ken Boddy.
Keep Portland weird. It's our unofficial motto. And although Portlanders embrace what it says about the city, we actually stole it from Austin, Texas. I spoke with the man who brought it here in this week's Where We Live. From the Unipiper to the naked bike ride to the characters at Portland's Saturday Market, Keep Portland Weird captures the city's vibe. We can thank Terry Currier for that. The owner of Portland's Music Millennium Record Store says it started with an idea in the early 2000s.
For about 3 years, I had been trying to come up with a campaign to support local business in the city. One day I was talking to my friend who had a record store in Austin, Texas, and he goes, somebody came up with this slogan, Keep Austin Weird. And I go, wow, that's such a great slogan. I made like 500 bumper stickers that said Keep Portland Weird, and I made 500 bumper stickers that said Keep Portland Weird, support local business.
That was in 2003. And after Currier ran a picture of the bumper sticker in the newspaper, the slogan took on a life of its own. From bumper stickers to posters to coffee mugs and t-shirts, Keep Portland Weird became a thing.
Do you feel bad about taking that slogan away from Austin?
No, you know, the best form of flattery to someone is to copy their idea, you know, that it was a great slogan.
We aren't the only ones to think so, as Austin created a marketing monster. So today, not only is Portland weird, Louisville, Kentucky has adopted the slogan, and so has Asheville, North Carolina, leading to a debate over which city is the weirdest.
And Portland seems to win in all of those debates. Austin is unique, but I think Portland's weirder.
Keep Portland Weird is even used by Travel Portland to promote the city in other places. Portland's official slogan is the city that works. While Terry Currier gets credit for bringing Keep Portland Weird to the Rose City, he's also helping keep music alive. We had a great conversation at his busy record store. Here now is more with Terry Currier on Portland, being weird, and why vinyl matters.
I'm Terry Currier with Music Millennium.
Tell me about Keeping Portland Weird. I know it started in Austin, Texas. How did it get here?
Well, for about 3 years, I had been trying to come up with a campaign to support local business in the city. There was a lot of national businesses at the time that were coming into the city. I was worried about the local flavor of the city. And I was trying to come up with a campaign, and it just wasn't gelling. I kept saying, keep Portland unique. And one day I was talking to my friend who had a record store in Austin, Texas, and he goes, somebody came up with this slogan, keep Austin weird. And I go, wow, that's such a great slogan. And we talked a few months in a row, and I keep asking him about this slogan. He goes, you seem so interested in it, you should do it up there. So that's what I did.
Do you feel bad about taking that slogan away from Austin?
No, you know, the best form of flattery to someone is to copy their idea, you know, that it was a great slogan. Down in Austin, there was like 5 different people at the time claimed they came up with the slogan. So there was a lot of talk in the media down there on what was going on with this thing, and I was fascinated.
Let's move off from that. How did you work it after you decided, hey, this would be a good slogan for Portland?
I made like 500 bumper stickers that said Keep Portland Weird, and I made 500 bumper stickers that said Keep Portland Weird, support local business. And I sent those stickers out to a number of local businesses and told them what I was doing. I ran the actual bumper sticker in newspaper without mentioning Music Millennium's connection or anything in it, and just let it go its own way. I had somebody come to me and goes, oh, this is great. How do you want to market it and stuff? And I go, I'm just putting it out there. You know, I had no idea at the time that it would turn into what it turned in, which is almost like a city slogan.
Yeah. And let's expand upon that. Are you surprised that it's gotten as big as it's gotten?
It is. You know, it's kind of like a band or an artist. You know, they're all out there working really hard, and some people make it, and some people don't. And sometimes there's no explanation because this other band sounded so much better, but this band is the one that's getting success. It just happened. It hit a nerve at that time. And I think a lot of the people that lived in Portland at the time, I think they were realizing the same thing of, you know, that our city is changing. And we need to make sure, you know, that we do keep Portland unique with this flavor that's a little bit different than any other city in the country.
How does this fit? How does this slogan fit the city of Portland?
Oh, I mean, Portland has its characters out there, its businesses out there. I mean, we got the Vacuum Cleaner Museum. I don't know how many cities have a Vacuum Cleaner Museum. You have the odd characters that show up at Saturday Market, you know. There are these unique buildings and unique businesses and unique characters within our city that gives it just its flavor.
Well, you were saying that part of the reason you wanted to do this was to promote local business. Has the slogan been successful in doing that?
I think a certain amount of it has, but the unique thing about Keep Portland Weird, it's open to interpretation by anybody, and it means a lot of different things. So I think that was another reason that it was so successful, because people were able to interpret it their own way.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you look at other cities that have picked it up, I mean, there's Austin was the first one, and then us, but there are a couple other cities, including Louisville and Asheville, that have picked it up as well. So how do you feel when you see other cities using that slogan as well?
Well, it's really interesting is when Louisville did it, and I think they might have been the third city. It was another guy from a record store there that brought it to the city. A guy named John Timmons, and he had a store named Ear Ecstasy. So it really came from independent business in a lot of those cities.
Uh-huh. And I was looking at the one from Louisville, did a little research on that, and they used it for the same purpose, to promote their local businesses as well. So it seems to have an effect in these cities that use the slogan.
It has. There was a Keep Portland Weird Festival in Paris. It was like a two-week-long festival there. Travel Portland was actually there. They go to a number. Travel Portland goes to a number of places around the world to promote travel to Portland. And in many of those cases, they're taking Keep Portland Weird stickers and buttons to those places to hand out.
Well, a lot of people would say that you're part of the whole. Other than bringing the slogan here, you're part of the whole Keep Portland Weird thing. I know you've had your same style ever since I've known you. And you've had the hair and you wear the black and all of that. This is one of the few places where you can not only get vinyl, you can still get cassette tapes here.
You can, and if you look, there are some 8-track tapes here too.
That's a little weird. Now, do you think that Portland is the weirdest of the cities that uses the slogan?
Oh, you know, there has been people debating that out there. And Portland seems to win in all of those debates. Austin is unique, but I think Portland's weirder.
How proud are you to know that you're the guy that brought this to us?
You know, I don't really think about that so often. You know, I feel like I'm just part of the city, and you know, one of the things I've always been concerned about the city, and whatever we do here at the store, we want to help the city and the people that live in the city.
And you're going to be celebrating here at Music Millennium your 50th anniversary this year. So tell me about that. You've been doing this for a long time. You haven't been here the whole 50 years, but for the majority of it, you have.
Music Millennium started on March 15th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the Ides of March. You know, Don McLeod, Loreen McLeod, Dan Lissy, you know, come from the hippie culture back then, had to open the store on the Ides of March. It was all planned out that way. And for Music Millennium to survive, It's taken a lot of different things because the record industry has been a roller coaster ride with the different changes that have happened. You know, in year 2000, there were 7,500 record stores in America, and by 2007, there was only 1,800 left. And we have to thank the community for supporting the store. I mean, that's one of the reasons here that we're still here. But you know, it has been that roller coaster ride.
Mm-hmm. And with obviously with music streaming, you know, a lot of the younger kids, they get their music from the internet or from services like, you know, Spotify or Apple Music or whatever the case may be. How have you been able to keep this going when that landscape is out there?
It was on a big decline in the 2000s, and there's three coalitions of record stores out in the country, and I started one of those, and we got together and we started this day called Record Store Day, and we just used it as a kind of a PR thing to let people know out there that, hey, there's still record stores out there. You might be reading in the media that we're all gone, but we're out here. And by the way, we're going to have some records for a special day. And if you look on a graph from 2007 to now, vinyl sales started growing immensely. And the one thing that happened in this whole new vinyl wave is it brought the youth market back into the store. When digital downloading happened, youth went away altogether. They just started listening to, you know, iTunes and, you know, music in a digital form and sharing with each other. They weren't coming to the record store. But after listening to that and hearing the sound quality of that and then discovering vinyl, they go, wow, this vinyl sounds so great. And they started coming back into the store. Not all of them, but enough that it started growing and their friends started coming. And there's a business out there for us. We can do this going into the future.
Yeah, definitely. And you can definitely notice the sound quality from a digital song as opposed to one that's playing on a turntable.
Oh, definitely. Because they have to compress that digital music so far to get it into that form, you know. Vinyl has this much sound. CD's a little compressed. It's a little bit smaller. But then the MP3s are very small.
Well, thank you for keeping vinyl alive, keeping Music Millennium alive, and keeping Portland weird. Terry Currier.
Thank you.
There are so many stories to tell about where we live, and we want to hear from you. Please send your story ideas to news@coin.com, and be sure to download and subscribe to Where We Live and all of the Coin 6 podcasts at the Apple Store, Google Play, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.